I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. I know we've been in a series called Kings and Kingdoms over these past few weeks, and we're not quite done with that series yet, but we're going to take a break this week, all right? I'm going to give you a break from seeing King David in his sin and seeing King David in the consequences of his sin. I'm going to let you take a break from that. We'll revisit that next week, but today we're going to be in Romans chapter 12, because today we are celebrating Harvest Day at Start Baptist Church. Now, I've had quite a few people say, "Brother Jeff, what is that? What is Harvest Day? I mean, are you talking about like the farmers and the crops?" Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's kind of the same concept, if you will. Somebody said, "Well, isn't that just like homecoming?" Yeah, kind of. But here's what I believe Harvest Day means, okay? Every year, we celebrate this day, Harvest Day, and here's what I believe it means. I believe it means we thank God. That's what it's about. It's Thanksgiving. We thank God for who He is. We thank God for what He has done, what He is doing, and what He will do to and through us right here at Start Baptist Church. To me, that's what Harvest Day is. That's what it's always been about. It's always been about God's goodness to us and through us. You know, I've been at this church for a long, long time, and I could very easily look backwards and talk about the past. I could talk about the men, the women, the children, the students that God has brought together and used to make a difference in this community. I think about all those Sunday school teachers I've had in this church, right? I think about the youth ministry. I think about how I came up through that youth ministry, and then God called me, and I was able to be a youth pastor here at this church. I think about the deacon ministry of this church, and I remember those men that served God faithfully and served this church and served this community faithfully. And then God called me to be a deacon, and I remember that first deacon's meeting, sitting in that room going, "What am I doing here?" Like, I was looking at these pillars of the faith and going, "I'm not a pillar of faith, right? I'm not supposed to be in here." But I look back, and I thank God for all that God has done. I remember, how many of you remember, right, Harvest Days in that building over there that we call the Children's Worship Center? Anybody remember that? Yeah, I remember Harvest Days over there, right? I remember, you know, the services over there. I remember the choir singing. I remember all of those things. And I have such good memories about what God has done to and through Start Baptist Church in the past. And now I'm thinking about today, right? I'm thinking about what God has been doing today at Start Baptist Church and how we have grown spiritually and how we have grown numerically and resourcefully and how we have grown in ministry right here at Start Baptist Church. I think about all the teams that serve right now at Start Baptist Church faithfully serving God by serving others. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the leadership that we have at this church. I'm thankful for our staff. I'm thankful for so much. God is so good. Amen. And listen, it's very easy to get distracted. It's very easy to take our eyes off of what God has done and what God is doing. It's very easy to be a complainer and a grumbler. It's very easy to say, "Well, we don't have this," or "We're not doing this." It's very easy to get caught up in that. And when that happens, you can't look forward. You can't look into the future. You can't look into what God is going to do. And so I want to encourage you, hey, look back. Look back at what all God has done. Think about what God has done that we could have never done in and of ourselves. Thank God for that. Look at what's happening at our church right now. Look at what's happening with our church right now in our community. I'm going to tell you something. None of that can happen without God. None of that. You can get the best people that you want, the most experienced people. You can have all the money that you want, but without God, it ain't going to happen. And so let's keep our eyes on God. Let's keep our focus on God, and let's be thankful. Let's be thankful always, each and every day, for who God is and for what God has done, what God is doing, and let's look forward to what God is going to do. You know, God saved me when I was 13 years old. I got saved right here. Well, not right here, but right over there. I got saved right over there. I remember that service that night. And I remember going home, and I remember talking to my dad. And I remember my dad being right there with me in my bedroom when I prayed the prayer of salvation. And I remember walking down the aisle, and I remember professing my faith right over there in that children's building. And I remember getting baptized. Another thing I remember is being in Don and Sherry's Sunday school class. And when I went to Don and Sherry's Sunday school class, that next Sunday after I was baptized, they gave me a Bible. I still have that Bible. Don, you remember this? The Transformer. Don's got to reach way back, right? Because that was a long, long time ago. Don and Sherry gave me this Bible after I got baptized. I was in the youth group. And I remember getting this Bible and I was going, what is that? What is the Transformer? Like, I had read my Bible and I'd been coming to church, but I didn't really know what it meant to be transformed, right? To be changed. And I remember they had a little bookmark and it was on Romans chapter 12. And I learned what it meant to be transformed by reading Romans chapter 12. And that's where we're going to be in God's Word today. Listen, what I found out very early on, after I got saved, I was plugged in. Do you hear me? I was plugged in. I was connected to God, and I was connected to other believers, like Sunday school teachers, Don and Sherry, a Sunday school class, brothers and sisters in Christ. And I remember learning about God and learning about church and learning about love and learning about service. I remember that. I remember learning those things, right? As a matter of fact, I remember going home and feeling like I was connected. You see, at Start Baptist Church, I had a place of belonging. I belonged to the youth ministry. Don and Sherry made me feel like I belonged to them, right? Terry and Denise Parks, Randy and Paula Carson, I remember all of them serving in youth ministry, and I felt like I belonged to them. And I felt like I had brothers and sisters, fellow students that I belonged to, and they belonged to me. So at Start Baptist Church, I had a place where I could connect. I could connect with God, and I could connect with others. But I also found a place overflowing with love. I saw what it meant, right, to embrace God's love. I saw men and women that God loved, and His love overflowed through them to me. So I found a place to connect. I found a place where I could learn about love, but I also found a place where I could serve. Because I remember the opportunities that these student workers like Don and Sherry and Randy and Paula and you know, Terry and Denise and others, I remember them allowing us as students to take up the offering. I remember them, you know, taking us out and visiting people. I remember us doing car washes and going and picking up limbs out of yards. I just remember all of those things. I learned what it was like to connect, to love, and to serve. And I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing more important for a church. Nothing more important for a church than to connect, love, and serve. And so I want to share with you today the vision that God has given us as leadership of Start Baptist Church. It's real simple. You want to know who Start Baptist Church is and who Start Baptist Church is going to be as we move forward? Start Baptist Church is a body of believers who will, you ready? It's real simple. Connect, love, and serve together. That's who we are. I believe that's who we already are right now. But that is absolutely who we're going to be moving forward. Listen, I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. But if you came to Start Baptist Church to get on a Carnival cruise ship, you got on the wrong boat. I'm just telling you. Start Baptist Church ain't that boat. Okay, this ain't no Carnival cruise ship. Let me tell you who Start Baptist Church is, what Start Baptist Church is. Start Baptist Church is a battleship. Because we have an enemy. His name is Satan. And he wants to steal, kill, and destroy anybody and everybody he can. And if he can't have your eternity, he wants somebody else's eternity. And so in order to get somebody else's eternity, what he wants to do is he wants to shut you up. And he wants to shut you out. He doesn't want you connected. He doesn't want you loving. And he absolutely doesn't want you serving. And so we need to know who the enemy is, right? And we need to know who we are. And we need to get on the right ship. We need to get on the right ship. Start Baptist Church, we're not a Carnival cruise ship. We are a battleship, and we are at war. Spiritual warfare is real. I started that series last Sunday night, and we're going to be doing that for the rest of the year. We're going to be talking about spiritual warfare, and I believe it has everything to do with this vision that we have as leadership of this church. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to connect with God, and we're going to connect with others. We're going to love God, and we're going to love others, and we're going to serve God by serving others. That's who we are, and that's who we're going to be. And you can stay on this ship and do that, or you can find another ship. You're going to be very uncomfortable at Start Baptist Church if you came to sit and soak, okay? Because that's not who we're going to be. That's not who we are, and that's not who we're going to be. So are you ready? You ready to get on board? Amen. All right, here we go. Here we go. Romans chapter 12, the first five verses. What's awesome is that when I opened up this old transformer a couple of weeks ago and started looking at it, man, Romans chapter 12, I wrote down so much stuff I couldn't hardly read it, right? I couldn't read the words. And so Romans chapter 12 was highlighted in this Bible, and now it's highlighted in my Dr. David Jeremiah study Bible. Let's read the first five verses. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters." Do you see the connection already? Connection. "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's" what? Mercy. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on God's mercy to you and for you, and that God will use through you. He says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice." Let me ask you a question, church. Does that sound like a Carnival cruise ship? Not to me, it don't. That don't sound like, hey, come sit and soak and, you know, take in the sun and let people feed you and do for you. That don't sound like that to me. It says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, because this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, look around the building, we, though many, form one body. And listen to this. And each member belongs to all the others. Each member belongs to all the others. Let me tell you what this passage means. The first five verses, here's what it means. It means by God's grace that is found in Jesus Christ, we can connect with God, and we can connect with one another. And I'm going to tell you something. Church, we must connect with God if we're going to connect with others. We must. Amen. And we can by the grace of God that is found in Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Our first connection, Brother Jeff's first connection, any Sunday school teacher's first connection, any ministry team leader's first connection has got to be with God. We've got to be connected with God. He is our creator. Let me tell you who you are. You are God's special possession. You are God's royal priesthood. You are God's chosen person, chosen people. And you were created by God for God. And you were created to sing the praises of the one who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous, wonderful light. That's who you are. That's who I am. Don't take my word for it. Do you know what I just quoted to you? I quoted to you 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Okay? I didn't make that up. That's what God says to me. And that's what God says to you. That's who you are in Christ Jesus. You are God's special possession. You belong to Him. You were made for connection with Him. But here's the beauty of it, right? He wants an intimate, loving relationship with us, but He also called us to Himself to have intimate, loving relationship with one another. We were created by God for God, yes, but we were also created to be together. God created us as a family. Our response to God's incredible mercy. What did Paul say at the beginning? In view of God's what? Mercy, right? In view of God's mercy. So in view of God's mercy, our response should be to live as living sacrifices to God. That's the only right response. When we think about how good God is, when we think about what God has done and what God is doing, and we are focused on Him and the mercy that He has for us, our proper response is to worship Him, praise Him, and surrender to Him, to be living sacrifices. I love what Dr. Tony Evans says in his commentary. Listen to this. He says, before we can have dynamic, personal involvement with God, right? We have to surrender. We have to surrender. Once we surrender, right, we can have that dynamic, personal involvement with God. And this happens when we surrender. So here's the thing. If you have a problem connecting with God's family, it's probably because there's a problem with your connection with God. Because God didn't make no Lone Rangers. If that's the case, then why did Jesus send His disciples out two by two? I'm asking a question, right? He didn't make no Lone Rangers. He didn't make it so you could go out there by yourself. Why did God continually say in the Old Testament, and why did Jesus say in the New Testament, I am with you, right? I am with you. I am with you. We see connection in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They move together. They move together. And God wants us moving together. So Dr. Tony Evans, he goes on and he says this. He says, only in total surrender to God can we truly worship Him and can we truly be connected with other brothers and sisters in Christ. If we are connected to God through His mercy, namely His Son Jesus, then we can and we must connect with others and can have deep, meaningful relationships. That's what Dr. Tony Evans says. I love that. And listen, as we see in verse 4, not only do we belong to God, but as Christ followers, guess what? We belong to one another. We belong to one another. Now listen, that might make you cringe a little bit, right? Because you might would like to pick and choose who you belong to, but when you were born, did you get to pick and choose who your brother or sister was? No, you didn't. You were born into a family, all right? And you didn't have no choice in that, right? Because you couldn't even talk yet. You couldn't even really point yet because your eyes were still foggy. You couldn't even see right. And here's the thing. When I surrendered, I remember when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, I remember saying this, God, I am yours. I remember, matter of fact, I got it written down in this Bible. God, I am yours. I am yours. I wrote that down in this Bible, in this cover. I am yours. Thank you, God, for saving me. So when I said, God, I am yours, you know what that means? That means you in control. Not me. You're in control. And where you take me is where I go. And what you want me to do is what I do. And who you want me to be with is who I'll be with. Now, I think God's got a funny sense of humor because He has stuck me with you for a long, long time. But here's what I always say. If something's wrong with me and you don't like it, take it up with those who raised me, like those who gave me that Bible and taught me Sunday school. Don's like, no, that ain't my fault. Don's saying, don't blame me, right? No, I can't do that. I can't do that. But I always say, hey, whatever you see in me, it's what was planted in me by men and women that I connected with. Now, can I make some bad choices on my own? Absolutely, I can. Right? Can I dart off and go down another path? I absolutely can. I have freedom of choice. Right? God gives us all of that. But I'm going to tell you this. I know this. The way I serve in church today, men and women modeled that for me. Men and women showed me that. And I just followed them as they followed Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the connection that I have with God and the connection that I have with others. And that's what this passage is. In verses 1 through 5, I know who I am in Christ. I know whose I am in Christ. I belong to God, but I also belong to my brothers and sisters. I also know who belongs to me. You. Right? You are my accountability partners. You are my encouragement partners. You are my ministry partners. And I thank God for you. I can't do nothing as Brother Jeff. I can't do nothing as pastor without the grace of God. And I can't do anything without the family of God. Connection. So we can and we must connect with God and connect with others. As we continue to read, verse 6 says this. This is beautiful, right? Because not only do we see we're connected with God and connected with one another, but God does something. God does something when we're connected to Him and connected to each other. Watch this, verse 6. We have different gifts. Thank God for that. I'm so thankful that we don't all have the same gift. Because that'd be pretty boring, wouldn't it? If we were all firing the cannon on the battleship, that'd be kind of boring and that would be some fighting going on, right? It's my turn. It's my cannon. Go find your own, right? That's what could happen, right? Thank God we have different gifts. He says we have different gifts according to what? According to the grace of God. See, here's the thing. I didn't choose my gifts. They were given to me by God. What I chose to do was embrace them and use them for His glory. That's where the choice comes in. It says we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is, look at this, verse 7. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Now, this list of gifts is not exhausted. He just mentioned some of the gifts. There's a lot more gifts that God gives us. And you can see them in the New Testament, especially in Galatians. You can see them in Ephesians. But these are pretty incredible gifts. But I don't want to stop at verse 8, because if I stop at verse 8, then I really miss the point. Because verses 9 through 12, this is the point. You ready? Verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Look at verse 10. Be devoted to one another in love. Somebody tell me connection's not important. Somebody tell me connection don't matter. It absolutely does. It absolutely does. And verse 10 is my evidence. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Paul's already told us about humility in the first 5 verses, and now he's coming back to it. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Man, we're seeing 2 words pop up a lot. Love, serve. Love, serve. I don't think that's a coincidence. He says, keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Verses 12 and 13, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. So by God's grace in Jesus, we can connect with God and we can connect with others. But what we see in this passage is by the grace of God found in Jesus Christ, we can love God and we can love people. We can. And I'm going to tell you something. As a Christ follower, we must. The Holy Spirit of God is not going to allow you to not love God and not love people. That goes against who He is. And so the Holy Spirit of God is not going to be okay with you as a Christ follower doing your own thing and never loving God and never giving God glory and never loving people who God created in His image. The Holy Spirit of God is going to convict you. The Holy Spirit of God is going to steer you to your first love, and that is God the Father. And the Holy Spirit of God is going to continue to give you opportunities to love people He puts in front of you. And when you don't do that, as a Christ follower, He will convict you. And you say, well, Brother Jeff, what if I ain't convicted? You're not going to like my answer. But that means you have not come face to face with Jesus Christ and you have not surrendered to Him as Lord of your life. If there's no conviction of the Holy Spirit, then that means the Holy Spirit ain't there. And if the Holy Spirit ain't there, you ain't surrendered to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You may have been religious. You may have been a church member. You may have been in the youth group. You may have even written some checks to the church. But I'm going to tell you, none of that saves you. None of that saves you. What saves you is when the Holy Spirit of God convicts you of your sin and you take ownership of it and you say, God, I am a sinner. But I believe that Christ died for me even while I was a sinner. And I put my faith and trust in Him and I surrender my life to You, God. It's a heart decision. And that heart overflows from your mouth because the Bible says if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and you confess Him with your mouth, you will be saved. That's what saves you. That's what saves you. And so the Holy Spirit, in that moment when you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God baptizes you. Baptizes you. Seals you. Dwells within you. And you are God's child forever and ever. And nothing in all of creation can ever separate you from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus. That's another passage in Romans. That's another passage in Romans. So we, by the grace of God, right, in Jesus, we can love Him and we can love others. It is a sincere and unfailing love God has for us. And He gives us the capacity and He gives us the ability to love that way. First and foremost, to love Him in return. How do we love Him in return? We offer ourselves as living sacrifices. You see how that works? Brother Jeff, how can I love God? You offer yourself as a living sacrifice to Him. You remind yourself every morning when you wake up, I don't belong to me, I belong to God. I am not my own, I am God's. Every morning I wake up, in my mind and in my heart, I remind myself of Isaiah chapter 43. When God says, I called you and I named you. And Jeff, don't you ever forget, you are mine. I'm just telling you, that's something I tell myself every day when I wake up. Right? I remind myself what God told me in Isaiah 43. I called you by name. You are mine. I'm going to tell you, if that don't humble you, something's wrong. Because that humbles me that God would say, hey, Jeff, you are mine. And what that does is that puts my focus on Him and who He is and who I am in Him and who I can be for Him. A living sacrifice. I can live and love like Jesus because of God's love for me first. And then I can be a vessel of it, right? I can be a vessel of that love to others. The other day, it's funny, my daughter Katie was at school, and she said, Dad, I can't leave today. Can you bring me lunch? Right? Well, she knows where I go to lunch. Matter of fact, I think everybody knows me knows where I'm probably going to be at lunch. Okay? So what she don't know is I was already there. And here's what she said. I want McDonald's. I just saw mamas and daddies cringe when I said that. Like, McDonald's, oh, man. Again? Like, how many Happy Meals have mamas and daddies gone through in these days, right? I haven't been to McDonald's, and I don't remember the last time I went. But she wanted McDonald's. Give me 10 nuggets and some fries and a Sprite. And I sent to her, Katie, you probably, wherever you are, in the sound booth, wherever, you probably remember going, hey, I'm at Chick-fil-A. And I wanted her to respond like, oh, yeah, get me Chick-fil-A. But no, that's not what the response was. Bring me my McDonald's. All right? So here's the thing. You can't say I planned that, can you? Can you say that that was my plan? It was not. But I love my baby, right? And I said, okay, I'll get her some lunch. So I went to the McDonald's in West Monroe. Like, what? Coincidence, right? I guess if you're not a believer, you would say that. I drive up in that driveway. The lady comes on, and I can hear her voice. Again, this is the Spirit of God, I believe. Something was wrong. Welcome to McDonald's. How can I help you? Something was wrong. I went ahead and placed my order, And before I pulled around to that window, I said, God, help me be aware. Help me be aware because something's wrong. When I pulled up, the lady in the window, and I'm not going to mention her name. She told me her name, but I'm not going to mention her name. When I pulled up to the window, I could tell she was teared up. And so I got my card out and was about to hand it to her. And I said, ma'am, before I hand you this card, can I ask you, are you okay? And she said, no, sir, I'm not. I just got a phone call from my doctor, and he told me I have cancer. And I'm scared. And my son, I called him, and he's on his way to get me, and we're actually going to go to the doctor's office because he told me I needed to get there and do some blood work. And so I handed her my card, and I said, before I pull up to the next window, can I pray for you? And she said, what do you do? I said, ma'am, I'm a pastor. And I said, I haven't been to McDonald's in 3 years. But today God had me here. And it wasn't for chicken nuggets or fries. It was just to pray with you. And so I just prayed for her right there. And I didn't care what the person behind me thought. But they didn't honk their horn, so I guess they were okay with it. Maybe they were a Christian and could feel it with the Spirit as well, right? We on the same team. But I'm going to just tell you something. That's not natural. That's not natural. Because you know who I think about more than anybody else? Me. And I didn't want to be at McDonald's in West Monroe. I had other things to do. But I prayed that morning, right? God, I am yours. And you have told me, Jeff, you are mine. And I said, God, I want to be a living sacrifice for you. You better watch out what you pray for, because God will do it. So we can love God and we can love others, and it ain't because of ourselves. It is because of the grace of God through Jesus Christ who saved us. Amen? Amen. And by the grace of God in Jesus, we can also serve God and serve others. So as Christ followers, I love this. As Christ followers, we know that we are God's ambassadors. We know that. We read the Bible. Again, I can't tell you how much ink and how much lead. If you ever want to come look at this, you are more than welcome to come look at it because it sits right in front of me on my desk. But I wrote and underlined and highlighted things. And another thing that I have back here in the back on one of my pages where I took notes is, I am God's ambassador. Where did I get that at? 1 Corinthians. I am God's ambassador. That's what Paul says. What does it mean to be an ambassador? I'm just asking. Like, the United States has ambassadors all over this world, right? So those ambassadors are in this country and that country. Somebody tell me what an ambassador is. Yeah. They represent the kingdom in which they are citizens of. They represent the power and authority of the one who sent them, okay? So in short, the Bible says that I am God's ambassador, right? And that God has given me purpose and plans, and that is to represent Him anywhere I go, everywhere I go. As a matter of fact, Paul goes on in that passage, and he says, you are a messenger of reconciliation. That's what he says. You are a messenger of reconciliation. Do you know what that means? What it means to be an ambassador of God? Here's what it means. To be a servant of God. He is the authority. I am not. Anything I say and do with authority comes from Him. Anywhere I go and any power I have comes from Him. I am God's ambassador. I am God's servant. And throughout the New Testament, Jesus modeled and exampled what it looked like to be a servant of God. What did Jesus do? He went to people who were broken and hurting, and He loved on them. He loved on them. He met their needs as He could meet their needs. He healed them. He clothed them. He gave them sight. He gave them food. He did whatever He wanted to do to give God glory. God said, go, and Jesus went. See, God the Father and God the Son are one. God the Spirit, they are one. Even though they are three persons, they exist as one. And they're on the same page. And so Jesus Christ knew the purposes and plans that God the Father set for him when he put on flesh. Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which is lost. That's what he said. He said, I didn't come into this world to condemn this world. I came to this world so that this world might have life. Right? So Jesus, he served God in the flesh by serving people. Again, I love this. Dr. Tony Evans says, behind the Greek word, right? Because Paul in Romans chapter 12 says, if you really want to be a servant of God, you got to be fired up about it. Isn't that what he said? It's not a trick. Here, let me go back to the language, right? He says, keep your spiritual fervor. So listen to what Dr. Tony Evans says. He says, behind that Greek word translated fervor is the idea of boiling water. If you're a fervent servant of God, if you are fervent in the Spirit, then you are boiling water for the kingdom of God being poured out. You are fired up to serve God by serving others. That's what Dr. Tony Evans says. I love that, right? So I've never really thought about that before. Now, my blood pressure's gotten high before, and I felt like I was boiling water, but usually that's personal, right? And it ain't about God's kingdom, it's about mine. But I'm going to just tell you something. I wish our blood pressure would rise and get hot when it comes to telling people about Jesus and then loving people like Jesus, right? I wish we would get excited about that. I wish we would get excited about going out and helping people regardless of who they are, where they've been, and what they've done. See, we get fired up about helping people that we like, or people that we agree with, or people that we're okay with. But here's the thing. I don't have time this morning to read the whole passage in Romans 12, but listen to me. When he said love must be sincere, when he talked about serving God, there's a whole lot more to read. Do you know what Paul goes on to say? He says, love your enemies. Serve your enemies. Love those who persecute you. Serve those who... That's what he says. So here's the thing. If I am a living sacrifice to God, and I have totally surrendered, right? Totally surrendered, not just to the Savior Jesus Christ, but to the Lord Jesus Christ, then I don't get to pick and choose who I love and who I serve. You want me to tell you what's wrong with a lot of churches today? Picking and choosing who they love and who they serve. And that is not scriptural. That ain't scriptural. The scripture says you love who God puts in front of you. You love who God takes you to. You serve who God puts in front of you. You serve who God takes you to. And it don't matter if they're your enemy or your brother or sister in Christ. Now it's going to be hard for me to love my enemy and to love those who persecute me if I can't love my brother and sister in Christ. It's going to be hard for me, right, to serve an enemy, serve someone who persecutes me or persecutes the church or the Lord. It's going to be hard for me to serve them if I can't serve my brother and sister in Christ. See, here's what I love about church, right? I mean, this is the old coach in me, right? Listen, this ain't the game. This ain't the game right here. This is the locker room, okay? This is what I like to call the holy huddle. Right? We close and we huddled up, right? But here's what we're going to do. We're going to practice. We're going to practice loving God and loving one another. And we're going to practice serving God by serving one another so that when we go out there where the game is really being played, we can love anybody and everybody and serve anybody and everybody for God's glory. That's how God's kingdom advances. That's how God is glorified. Jesus said, what good is it to love somebody that loves you? That's not my words. Go to Matthew and look at it. Jesus said, what good is it to love somebody that loves you back? That's no different than the world. No. Love those who hate you. Love those who persecute you. Sounds a lot like Romans 12, doesn't it? Sounds like Paul was saying a lot of the same things Jesus said. Sounds like Paul was encouraging us to live the way Jesus showed us to live. And so, church, we've got to be different than the world. And I go back to Romans 12, verses 1 through 5. What did he say? He said, don't be conformed to what? The pattern of this world. Rather, be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? Anybody want to know how you renew your mind? You open this thing up. You open this thing up and you read it. You feed on it. You digest it. It grows your heart. It grows your mind. It grows you as a Christ follower. And so Dr. David Jeremiah, I love this, right? Dr. David Jeremiah, another one of my preachers, he says this. He says, overcoming evil is costly. So when Paul says you got to love those who persecute you, you got to love your enemies. When Jesus, who said it first, right, you got to love your enemies, you got to love those who persecute you. Dr. David Jeremiah says, don't ever forget this. Overcoming evil is costly. Often it involves absorbing the pain of someone else's wrong, but when we do, we gain a new friend and we promote reconciliation. We promote reconciliation. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, you are therefore God's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through you. You have a message, and that message is the good news of Jesus Christ. And when you present that message to anybody and everybody out there, it is a message of reconciliation. God loves you. Even while you were a sinner, Christ died for you. That's who we are, church. That's who we are. So how can we love others? How can we serve others? How can we do that to those who persecute us, to those who are enemy? It goes back to what we've been saying all along, by the grace of God found in Jesus Christ. I have to die to myself and take up the cross and follow Jesus every day. Daily deny myself. Daily take up the cross and daily follow Jesus. Go where Jesus goes, live like Jesus lives, love like Jesus loves. This is not a natural longing within us. It is a supernatural gift and power that comes to us by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And so if we truly want to be the church that God saved us to be and has transformed us to be and brought us together to be, then we've got to embrace God's grace to us, but we've also got to share God's grace with others. With others. We must be filled with the Spirit of God daily. God, fill me with your Spirit so that I can hear when someone talks and be able to respond to them with what they truly need. God, help me to see people the way Jesus sees them, not the way Jeff sees them. Because, you know, Jeff, it's real easy for Jeff to look at somebody with condemnation rather than love. It's real easy for Jeff to say, well, he's getting what he deserves. She's getting what she made that choice. She got to pay for it. It's real easy for Jeff to do that. That's natural. What's supernatural is when the Holy Spirit of God says, hey, Jeff, that could be you. Don't forget, Jeff, your heart is deceitful. Don't forget, Jeff, there's nothing in you and of you that is good apart from Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Spirit reminds me of that, I can see somebody a whole lot differently now, because I see myself differently. So here's my prayer for us. Here's my challenge for us. Here's my encouragement for us. And here's the ultimatum for us. And it starts with your pastor. Let's live in and let's live with God's grace that is found in Jesus, making every effort to connect with God and with others, to love God and love others, and to serve God and serve others. And let's do it together. Let's do it together. Amen? Let's do it together. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to hear me say connect, love, and serve a lot. You may get tired of it, and that's going to be okay, because you got grace inside of you, and you can give me that grace, right? But I got grace inside of me, and I'm going to pour it out on you. And I'm going to remind you every day who you are, whose you are, and why you are. And I'm going to remind you every day that you need to be connected with God so that you can connect with one another, so that you can connect with those out there. And I'm going to remind you every day that I can that your first love is God. God first loved you and so loved you, but God transformed you and God created you to be a vessel of that love to others. Connect, love, and then serve. Serve God by serving others. Meet the needs of the people around you as best you can. And here's the thing. God called us together. He called us together. And Jesus said, if you are not for me, you are against me. And I'm going to tell you something. If you are not with his church, you are against his church. We got some soul searching to do, don't we? God, have I truly surrendered to you, not just as my Savior, have I truly surrendered to you as my Lord? Am I a living sacrifice, or have I wobbled myself off of that sacrificial altar? And am I doing it when I want, how I want, where I want? See, we go back to that king and kingdoms thing, right? Is it about my kingdom, or is it about his kingdom? Be a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. That's your true and proper worship to God, for God. And do it together.